Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is a Sunday strategy session, and we're going to talk about selling high. So one of the common axioms, or the thing that you always hear, is you want to buy low and sell high. And training camp in particular is an important time for dynasty trading. There's a lot of news that will create the opportunity to open up windows that are buy lows or sell highs. Trades can really reform your team, and you can really make trades that increase your odds. But I think it's worth noting that scared money doesn't make money, right? Scared money doesn't make money. And what I see a lot of times is you get a situation where it looks like you're selling high, but you're actually not, right? You're actually selling low, and what you were intending to do was to sell high off your actual purchase cost, right? You buy player X for 406 in a rookie draft, and now all of a sudden you can get a future third. Hey, look, I made a profit. Well, maybe you could have gotten, depending, like you might have gotten a future third for that 406. That you could have gotten that, and it's independent. You know, that's a whole other story. But if you use the common axiom that, hey, you know, it's a round discount for the next year, like there's a shot that you could have gotten a future third for the pick. So you're actually not selling that high. Okay, well, that's the one thing. The other thing is what you have to worry about is you're selling based off new information that actually may move the needle. I don't think the training camp matters a ton in how it moves base rates and the like, but I do think it matters situationally, right? There's a difference between a seventh round running back that's got no chance of hitting, right? Mike Weber, right? I think Mike Weber's a sixth, maybe seventh round guy. And in hindsight, like he was behind Pollard, like, it ended up being a really bad situation. There was a lot of Devy residual for him, but it was really a situation where he didn't have much of a chance. It was clearly on that he wasn't going to make the roster and the shares went kaput. Right? There's that situation. And that's, when you look at it, it's not a hit, right? Like when you go into my metrics and it's, you know, you're looking at maybe 10, 15% somewhere in that range on day three guys, the big number there, the majority, right, the 85-90%, it's going to be represented by Mike Weber because he didn't hit. And he's basically played out of the league. I don't know if he's – I haven't seen him on a roster. But that's certainly a situation where he hasn't hit, right? And you lost that whatever you paid, 309, whatever it was, right? You lost that. Okay. That's different, right? There's a – you got that information early. It's a totally different story than a situation like Isaiah Pacheco. And I think Isaiah Pacheco is a good example of a situation where you have to really avoid selling high. He might, or really avoid selling low. Okay. He might, in fact, not hit. Okay. He might never produce a top 24 seasonal finish. He might never produce what I would consider like what I would measure as a success, right? If you were to look at a spreadsheet in 4 years, I would still put the odds pretty high. You know, it might be 75% chance that he doesn't post a top 24 seasonal finish, okay? But he has moved, right? He went from a lot of seventh round guys are practice squad guys to, I think Pacheco's going to make the roster, to I think he might make the roster in front of Ronald Jones, that I think that he might make Ronald Jones expendable, right? Like he's clearly moved up in terms of odds, right? Again, that doesn't move him from 10 to 80, but it might double his shot, right? It might make him, and I just think like if he was a 25% shot now, right? You know, and that, hey, he's going to make the roster and be an injury away guy. That's a third round rookie pick, right? That's instantaneously a third round rookie pick, and that's almost independent of you know, of other value, right? Like, you can, like, if a guy like that's going to get a crack at a start in season, like, a lot of times you can get a third round pick for them, right? We typically don't do that because we use it, right? But if we shop those situations, right, you get a pretty good shot. A lot of guys were seconds. Pollard's were second, you know, Madison, some other guys along the way have been worth seconds. To get a third for an injury away guy, like, it's honestly, it's appropriate cost for the player. And so that's already where Pacheco may find himself. And that's assuming there's no additional upside, right? He's a backup to, frankly, a running back who hasn't proven himself particularly well. Do I think he's going to come in and take Clyde Edwards-Helaire's job? Probably not, right? That would be against every single base rate I could possibly conjure up. But, like, I think he's very much in line for an injury away job. So how do you treat that, right? It's not selling high to say, oh, I'll cash out the 406 for a future third. That's not selling high. That's selling scared, okay? That's definitely selling scared. When you're selling, you should be motivated by profit. And too frequently, people will sell because they don't want to get caught holding the bag on a player. And I understand that. Right, like, you don't want it, like, I don't want this to go to zero. That's why people always, that's why a lot of dynasty sells old players, right? You don't want to get a hold in the bag when, you know, when Gronkowski retires. Well, like, we can use that along the way, right? Like, that's, I tend to think that that loss aversion is probably too priced into the dynasty prices, right? So, and too frequently, a lot of people are motivated by that. People will sell because they don't want to get caught holding the bag. And these trades are motivated not by profit, but by fear, right? And what you end up doing is you end up selling low or selling higher than you bought for, but lower than their actual value. And I think that this is this Pacheco situation is a really good one. The goal for selling Pacheco is to sell for a profit. In other words, you want to make a meaningful improvement to your team. And I think that the way you make a meaningful improvement is you trade him for a more durable asset, right? That's success. A third is a more durable asset than an injury-way running back. Right? Maybe a second is. Maybe a second gets you one you like better. Right? Like, if you traded a second for, if you got a second for Pacheco right now, and you traded Pacheco for, and you traded that second, like, you could trade the second for Madison and get an upgrade in quality of injury away guy, right? Like, you could do that easily, right? And I'm not saying that I would necessarily probably wouldn't be how I'd go about it, but I think you could do that, right? Like, you could trade that second for almost any player, right? And sort of use that as the way you upgrade. And you can use the second to potentially add a wide receiver to make it in a bigger deal to move from a second to a first somehow, right? Like, you can adjust tight end. Right? You can do a bunch of different things with a second that's just not going to do with a third. All right? You can get a top 100 pick in next year's draft with a second, right? Like, that's an improvement, a big improvement. That's an actual profit. That actually moves your needle in terms of your outcomes versus the third or versus the 406 in which you got Pacheco. So again, I think you really need to sell and make the piece that you acquire should be a more durable asset than the piece you're selling high on. That's what an actual sell high is. So some examples: Pacheco in a second for Dalton Schultz in 2 PPR. Love it. Pacheco for Fant, right? I like that. I think I might have actually ran through some of these in a different podcast, but I really like that. I've come back to really think more about this. Pacheco for Chase Claypool. Pacheco and Chase Claypool for Deebo Samuel. Love it. Pacheco and Darnell Mooney for Christian Watson, a first, and Van Jefferson. Love it. Like, well, that's fantastic, right? Like, you've gone from basically a late first this year and a first next year. I mean, if you know, I don't even know if Mooney would get a first typically, but just assume that you could. You've basically taken Pacheco and gone from the fourth round to like an early second round rookie pick. Like, you do that 100 times over, and I think, like, this is a really good example of how you address depth, how you address wide receiver, right? Like, you make these bets and you make these bets on players that, hey, we're going to get quick reveals on, you know, if this guy is an actual sell high candidate, like, hey, we can actually sell high and use him to actually address a need, which is maybe wide receiver, right? If we're sort of playing lean and mean, right? This is an easy way, and this is a repeatable way, right? And this is a way that people want to develop wide receivers. I don't need to develop wide receivers. I just need to get them when I need them, right? And I don't want to develop wide receivers. I want to take wide receivers that are developed, right? I don't want to have to grow them, right? I want them when they're good. I don't have to go through roster clogging issues. I want to know they're good. And if I can use Pacheco to get me a wide receiver I know is good, right, that's massively, massively helpful. So that's really the way that I would think about it. You know, some ideas that I hate when I look at Pacheco, for example, just selling scared, just absolutely selling scared. A third, Boston Scott in a third. Hell, Pacheco and Jahan Dotson for Jerry Jeudy. That's just selling terrified, right? You've actually moved down in base rates. Right, like you have Jahan Dotson who resets the clock on Jeudy, and I think Judy's probably a better player than Jahan Dotson. But I'd be a fool if I wrote all this work for AOD and then said like, hey, you know, like Jeudy should be massively ahead of Dotson in cost. Like if I knew nothing, I would say that that's probably not true. Do I think Judy's probably better than his base rate? Yeah, he probably is. But you know, Dotson. Jeudy hasn't really done much, right? And Dotson is got insulation. He's got all those things. Like if Jeudy is wide receiver 50 this year, you know, he's going to fall. Like he should fall pretty steeply. Jahan Dotson, like we know that situation's relatively insulated for him, right? So even there, like that's a, you've given basically, you've just absolutely sold low on Pacheco, and you ran. Like, you ran and got scared. And so that's, like, those are examples I think are really bad ones. You know, Zamir White's another one. Like, I can't get over this Zamir White for Nico Collins in a third. Like, this trade will stick with me to the end of time. What the hell are you doing? You've traded, you probably spent a second on Zamir White, and you trade him for a guy that, frankly, shouldn't be worth much more than a fourth in Nico Collins, and you trade him. So you do that and you pick up a third, right? Like what if you've given up the opportunity that what if Samir White actually, like what if Josh Jacobs gets hurt in practice tomorrow? Like what if that happens? Like Samir White could be a first round rookie pick, you know? And so I just like, that's a really like, that's a scared trade. That's absolutely scared. And don't make those trades. Right, constantly be moving up the board. You know, refuse the urge to sort of say, oh, all right, like I'll just recycle this player. Like you recycle the player for a pick when you're selling low, right? Like when you're actually are like, I don't want anything to do with this. When you see the writing on the wall, when you're like, oh shit, right? Like last year, like if you could get a second for Sermon when he was inactive. Right, or when you're like, oh man, this thing went horribly, and you're like, you know, I'll take a second, I'll reset the clock, like I'll just kind of admit it's a loss, like whatever. You're actually selling low, but you're like, all right, I'm just gonna try and recoup the flexibility. Like, hey, I'm gonna do what the Colts did on Carson Wentz. Hey, I messed up, I made a bad pick, but listen, I can get out of this right now. I'll cut my losses and just admit a loss and go on, right? Like, I am not picking on Trey Sermon. I still think he's got chances, but it became clear early on that our hope for him just wasn't right, right? That it was actually Elijah Mitchell and not Trey Sermon that was going to get that job. So, you know, there's all those situations, right? There's a lot of those situations where we can see, we're like, hey, this is just not going to work out. Like, I got to get out of it. I got to figure out a way to unwind this. And that's fine to sell low on, right? Like, it's okay, right? Like, you know, the buy low, sell high, right? Like, make sure you're actually selling high. But sometimes it's right to sell. And sometimes when you're selling low, you're actually selling, you're not selling low, you're selling higher, right? And I've gotten trapped a lot of times early on in my dynasty career. I would try and buy low on players and I would trade picks for players, which almost always was, I went back and I looked and it was a catastrophe. I was horrible at those trades. Because what was happening to me was I was actually buying with my prior, right? I was using my prior understanding of the player, my prior value of the player. Royce Freeman was a really good example of this. I was like, oh, I'll spend a future second on Royce Freeman. Like, yes. But he, like, had already gotten passed by Philip Lindsay. Like, it was kind of going in the wrong direction for him. Like, there was a lot of things that were going on that I should have probably adjusted for and not sold, you know, not speculated with future assets is what I did, right? So, and that's, like, there's a lot of those trades that I made along the way that I found trading seconds for players was typically a loser for me. That's typically what I found, especially young players. Now, if it's older players, like, that's something I think I'm probably a little bit better at, right? And so, again, it takes some adjustments, right? I jokingly say all the time that AOD is just a reflection of all the errors that I've made, and it's just me trying to pass them along so you don't make them, right? Simply put, that's that. So, again, I think that this is really a time to, yes, be involved in the trade market, yes, be selling high, but actually sell high. And there was some talk, I think it was Carlo brought this up at one point, like last year. He's like, I basically want to buy high on Deebo Samuel, like early on in the season where he was going crazy. When you just looked at the ancillary metrics, it was like, yeah, like this is actually real. This isn't fake. This isn't fraudulent. This is actually real. The expectation's super high. And what you were actually buying was a totally new profile. It wasn't an old profile that was overperforming, right? And I think that that's the thing you have to look for. Is this a new profile, or is this an old profile that's just overperforming? And there's a difference. And I think you really have to understand that. And that's something more and more I'm looking at. But with it, you know, to bring it back to Pacheco, I don't think this is an old profile that's overperforming. I think we have to readjust the profile, right? And so, you know, just trading him for a future third is bad. Like that's a bad decision. Trading him for a second, or you know, using him, I like to add to these guys. I do really think like adding to sell highs is really how you can move the needle. Like that Dalton Schultz one, I think it's like super, super savvy. Like that's a really good trade. So Romeo Dubs, I think, is going to be one of this as well. It's my understanding, I was looking at the I was actually recording a couple podcasts tonight, and I was just sort of preparing them and circling through the AOD feed. It's my understanding that he caught a touchdown pass. Let me see here. Yes, he actually did catch a touchdown pass on 5 targets, 3 for 24. So maybe it does open up another sell window here. There's this is just great. This is I'm from a very Italian place. I'm not Italian. My family's not Italian, but Sal Canella, great name. Just an all-time name right there, Sal Canella. So that's a very Italian sounding, it's gotta be sounds like the guy's a fullback. Let's see here. He's in the Green Bay roster here, and I'm not familiar with him. He's a tight end, rookie at Auburn. There we go. So 25-year-old rookie at Auburn, Sal Canella. So, he went 1 for 13. So, there's that, but yeah. So, but anyways, you know, be careful when you're actually selling these, like really think about your trades and be willing to sell high, but actually make sure you're selling high. Okay, so that'll pretty much do it for this. Again, I think that these strategy sessions are helpful because it kind of can point us like, hey, you know, let's keep the main thing, more durable dynasty assets, right? And when you're doing trades like this, that's what you're shooting for, not just escaping a potential holding the bag, but turn it into a new asset. And listen, if you spend 406 on a guy that then becomes worth a future third, and then in 6 weeks he's worth nothing, like you haven't really lost much, right? Like you haven't lost much that's moved the needle. But again, he has upside to be the potential starting running back for Pacheco does for the Kansas City Chiefs. And if that's the case, super valuable. So don't run in fear, like kind of embrace that, hey, things could go either way. But if things go the right way, like he's worth a hell of a lot more than I paid for him. And so that's something I would think about doing, right? And so, and the classic, you know, hey, you know, the expenditure and profit stuff. I saw someone talking about this on Twitter, like, oh, like here, if you spent this and you get out for this, like you made a profit, like that's how you should operate your team. In theory, yeah, but you have to sort of make your adjustments along the way, and I think that that's what this podcast is about. So, all right. So I hope that helps, and hope guides your process here. So again, go out, make some trades, exploit the news, and have a good rest of, and have a good week. Let's get this week started off. It's a big time for Dynasty here. So we'll keep churning out the content here. And as we have daily podcasts up through the beginning of week one. All right, that's going to do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.